Hello there, thanks for tuning in. This is a test bonus episode. Tom needs to learn to walk slower as he talks and to also just maybe flesh out the episode a bit more before he heads out. As always, let the boys know your feedback.
Welcome back to the Variety Show podcast bonus episode. No retro ramble this week because I didn't get a guest set up in time, but instead we are going on a little ramble and I'm going to talk about a year that I just pulled out of a hat. The year we're going to be talking about today is 1994.
Kurt Cobain, the leader of one of rock's most gifted and promising bands, Nirvana, is dead, and this is the story as we know it so far.
This is BBC One, now live and exclusive coverage of the very first draw in Britain's new national lottery.
In announcing the election of Comrade Nelson Mandela,
in fact, that's already happening on something called the internet.
So these little retro year rambles are going to be really just me talking about things that I remember from the year that I've chosen. Nothing too exciting, nothing too spectacular, but hopefully you might find it interesting anyway. With the year being 1994, that makes me 10 years old. Yes, I was born in 1984. I'm 40 this year, so actually, it felt like actually quite a good year to land on. So I think we'll start with music, seeing I'm normally listening to music when I'm out walking. And I could have chosen a hell of a lot for 1994 because there were some absolutely stupidly good albums released this year. Just looking at the list I've got in front of me as I walk, you'd got the MTV Unplugged album for Nirvana. Very kind of poignant for this year because I believe this is the year that Kurt Cobain also committed suicide. You've also got Weezer's self-titled album, Weezer, otherwise known as the Blue Album. And then finally, you'd also got Definitely Maybe by Oasis. So it was a very, very big year for music. However, the album I've chosen, 20 million copies sold, and it's by a really, really tiny band that you may not have heard of. They're called Green Day, and of course it's Dookie. Dookie is just one of those albums that is beyond good from track one all the way through to track 15. I've got to say, I also don't remember it having 15 tracks, so I don't know if that's an extended copy of Dookie or if it was always 15 tracks, either way. If we're going to talk about Dookie, what we should really talk about is, and this is totally an opinion piece here, Basket Case is no way the best song on that album. I love Basket Case, brilliant song, brilliant music video, not the best song from that album. Although, if you ask people, what songs do you know from Green Day? They're going to come up with American Idiot, they're going to come up with Basket Case. Those are the most common ones people know, and maybe When September Comes. However, really, you need to do a bit more listening to that album to realise that songs like She, When I Come Around, Welcome to Paradise are probably the best songs on that album. Again, opinion piece, feel free to correct me with what you think are the best songs from that album. I mean, you could go with something like All By Myself. I know it's a kind of an end bonusy sort of track, but it's still good. Or Eminus Sleepus, again, absolutely smashing song. But out of those three that I've said, When I Come Around is still probably my all-time favourite Green Day song. And definitely off that album, it's the best song for me. Now, Dookie's a bit of a weird one. I would have been 10 years old, as I said earlier. So I wasn't really into Green Day at that point. And for those of you that have read my previous blog sites, well, you'll be well aware that the first time I listened to Dookie was not a normal way of listening to an album. So I went and bought it from Al Price, probably in 1995. It wouldn't have been 94 when I bought it. I bought it on stereo cassette tape and I took it to my best friend Michael Gow. So I'd spent the morning in town, went and bought it, and then I walked halfway home from St Albans to go and see Michael and spend the afternoon with him. And we listened to it on, and this is the word of a lie, I promise you, it was a one of those kind of creamy brown Fisher-Price cassette players. He'll remember the ones. If you go and look in the Argos catalogue, I can guarantee you, you'll see it. You couldn't get something that looks more 80s, but it was a Fisher-Price beige and brown cassette player. It had a single cassette drive, and that's how we listened to the first kind of fused tracks of Dookie. And I won't lie, we had no idea what we were listening to. It was nothing we'd ever really heard before. And the fact that there was pictures of animals throwing shit on the front cover made us kind of feel like, are we being naughty listening to this? A bit like the next generation of children our age probably would have got when they first listened to their albums that had parental warnings on the front. You remember those black and white labels. So yeah, we kind of thought, should we be listening to this? And I don't remember what I did with the cassette. I don't know if I ever gave it to my brother or I hid it, but I never listened to it again until probably halfway through secondary school, when I started getting into kind of metal and things like that. And I finally discovered how good Dookie as an album was. So it was a very weird way to start my kind of life listening to Green Day, but there you go, that's how it was. And for me, it's definitely When I Come Around is the top song. Let's talk about gaming, seeing it should have been a retro ramble, but I couldn't get a guest in time. Gaming, 1994, it's a big year. 16-bit consoles are still king. We have 16 and 32-bit home computers like the Amiga and the Atari, currently doing chart games. And then out in Japan, we've got the original PlayStation now on sale, coming kind of towards the end of November of 94. So it is a very big year for gaming. I was looking at some of the games that were released on those in that year, 94, and this was a hard one to choose. So there was Doom 2, and I am a huge Doom fan. I can't tell you how much Doom really inspired me when it came to gaming, but Doom and Doom 2 were some of the first PC games I ever played, and first games that scared me, stupidly, looking back now. But as a kid, I loved it. Then out on the SNES, you've got Super Metroid. And then on the PC again, we had Warcraft. You know, that game that's still going to this day in one form or another. Again, just like Doom, really. They were all released in 94. But I'm not going to talk about a PC game or a console game. I'm going to be talking about an arcade game, because in 1994, we had Cruising USA, or sorry, I should say Cruisin', no G at the end, USA, released in the arcades. Now, it wouldn't be for a little while for me to kind of play that, but about 95, 96, I used to head into town quite a lot to play in the arcades that were found in the Maltings in St. Albans. And the Maltings, it was a weird place. It was called the Inn Shops, and it was an indoor market, basically. And when there were two or three units that were all together and empty, what the Inn Shops did was they rented a load of arcade cabinets. And at one point, it had really quite a large arcade in it. We had the Sega game that did not quite the 360, but still span around kind of 180 on the spot and lent you to the left and the right. We had all the Tekken games that were on arcade. We had, what other ones? Alien 3, the light gun game. We had Time Crisis. We had, Die Hard Arcade was another favourite of mine from that era. But the one that really sticks in my mind now is Cruising USA, because it was such a fun and easy arcade racer. And that's not really too common a thing when it comes to arcades. They're more interested in taking your money, taking your nuggets as you put them in. But Cruisin' USA was still 50p a go, or £1 got you 3 credits. And genuinely, if you had a little bit of practice at that game, about £2, you could get through the entire game and maybe a little bit more. It wasn't hard, but it was a lot of fun. And as stupid as it was, and as just, well, I don't really know, was it that stupid? Was it that silly? It was just an enjoyable, fun game, I guess. But it wasn't anything special is what I'm trying to say. It wasn't going to make you think, holy moly, this is the world's best racing game in the world. It was just a fun arcade racer, which really, we didn't get anything as fun until then Crazy Taxi came out a few years later. Saying that, there you go, 94, I'm pretty sure Daytona USA came out the same year. And as good a game as that was, I'm pretty sure one credit pretty much saw one race. Whereas Cruising USA, one credit, you kept racing until you ran out of time or you came second or third in a race. What game are you going to choose? The game that's a little bit silly, but you get a lot of time for your money? Or the game that you get one race and, yeah, you play it on hard, you're going to get beaten around the place and probably not finish your first race. Cruising USA won every time. Don't get me wrong, Daytona USA was a brilliant bloody game. But for 1994, Cruising USA is definitely 100% the game I'm going to choose to talk about there. Well, I guess we better talk about film, and I'll end it on TV. Film, again, very weird year. There are a lot of films out there that people have gone, well, why didn't you choose to talk about this? And I was just trying to choose things that people don't often talk about. So Cruising USA, very few people are going to choose to talk about that over Daytona USA, for example. And in film, I could have chosen, let's have a look here, Pulp Fiction. Amazing film. I could have chosen The Lion King, which again, in a completely different way, is just as amazing. Or, what else could I have chosen? I could have chosen Ace Ventura, a completely different film again, but a very, 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 very funny one at the same time. Now, just do my lace up before I trip up in these dark alleys that I'm walking down. So, if I didn't choose those three films, what did I choose? I chose Four Weddings and a Funeral. Now, don't hate me for this. Like the music, it's absolutely to do with my opinion. But I fucking hate that film. I got away with not seeing it until around COVID, when my gorgeous wife said, I can't believe you've never seen this. You have to see it. It's amazing. And I hated every single minute of that film. Now, if we're going to talk British movies, I know this one's not from 1994, but if you want a good British movie, then I would tell you to go and watch Shaun of the Dead. You can't go wrong with that. If I want you to watch a highly miserable, unfunny, sticks to pretty much one joke and that's it film, then I'd tell you to go and watch Four Weddings and a Funeral. Seriously, I just can't understand why people think it's some sort of cinematic movie masterpiece. It's pretty much known for the number of the times they say fuck. It's known for the bad luck that goes throughout the film. And it's just, I know films are very much what is your cup of tea. And this one was 100% not my cup of tea. But I still don't get it. Can someone explain to me what I missed? Because it genuinely just made me kind of feel very hateful towards it, very angry. I just don't know. I just didn't find it funny. Right, TV, the last bit, and then you can put your ears to rest and you don't have to listen to me moan anymore. Well, I'm not going to moan this time because there's quite a lot of TV to talk about. So, the things I could have chosen. Well, Friends first appeared. 1994, unbelievable. 30 years ago. Then we had The Far Show. We also had The Vicar of Dibley, which, I'll be honest, as a 10-year-old, I never actually grasped the majority of the comedy in that and just laughed because I wanted to make it look like I knew what I was laughing at. It wasn't until later in life when I rewatched them that I realised it's actually quite a funny show. quite fond of The Vicar of Dibley, actually. But the one I'm going to choose here is ER. And it kind of weirdly links back to Green Day, which we'll go into in a minute. So ER, stands for Emergency Room, was a Michael Crichton drama. First appeared in 1994. And it is all about a Chicago-based hospital, in particular the emergency room. And what can I say? It's my still go-to medical drama of choice. Now, I've not watched any of the newest seasons. In fact, I'll explain why I stopped watching it in a little bit. But compared to things, especially compared to things like Casualty or Holby City or Grey's Anatomy or 911, 911 Lone Star, whatever you want to go down medical-wise, ER absolutely trounces it. Not only was huge amounts of research put into the show to ensure that a genuine kind of feel for the emergency room and the stories that go on within it was given, but they created a group of characters that very rarely a show manages, but they gave you a group of characters that you grew to love and you really didn't want to see anything happen to. And even the characters in it that you were designed to hate, you didn't really want anything bad to happen to them because they would be given some sort of redeeming arc, which made the show just all that more special. So I did stop watching it, not because of the next particular bit, but that did scar me somewhat. So from the first season, we get a young junior doctor played by Noah Wyle called John Carter. And his character in ER was absolutely phenomenal. And what they then later did, and I can't think what season it was, it might have been season 4 or 5, they introduced a new junior doctor called Lucy, who was under the kind of control of Dr. Benton and under Carter. And they end up, well, you know what they're going to end up doing. They end up being in some form of relationship. And yeah, absolutely brilliant dynamic between them. Just like I said, for everyone within ER, really, the dynamic is amazing. But the dynamic between those two in particular, I particularly liked as a teenager. And for those of you that watched ER knows what's coming next, they kill Lucy. They nearly kill Carter, but they kill Lucy. They're both attacked in a bathroom and they only manage to save Carter. And it was heartbreaking how that episode was done and the aftermath. It was just absolutely heart-wrenching and it really affected me. I still remember now being kind of these mid-teenage years and nearly being in tears over this scenario that's being put in front of the TV in me. It was incredibly moving because they were probably the first TV show that I had genuinely formed attachments to the characters. Not in a way of, let's say, Red Dwarf, where I love all the characters, but I actually wanted to see the day-to-day lives of these characters in ER and to see one of them get killed in a particularly brutal way. And see kind of this relationship destroyed. It was painful. It really was painful. And yeah, they did an absolutely brilliant job at it. And that's why ER is so good. And the final bit about ER, I'll say, this is what links back to Green Day at the beginning. There is an entire storyline about one of the main doctors in it, who's one of the high up doctors, called Dr. Anspar. And his son is diagnosed with, I think his son was called Scott Anspar. And he's diagnosed with leukemia. And we get this really in-depth storyline about the struggles of long-term illness and the treatment for it. And of course, sadly, the inevitable happens. And the character is killed off. And Jeannie sings Time of Your Life, Good Riddance, by Green Day, which is off the Nimrod album, I want to say. In the church at his funeral. And it's, again, an incredibly beautiful moment. And it's so well-paced and it's so well-chosen that you can't help get choked up about it. So, yeah, for me, ER really does rule the roost of 1994. Even though The Vicar of Dibri, The Far Show, was some of the best British comedy out there, ER absolutely destroyed it. Absolutely smashed it in every single way. Anyway, that has been my little ramble about 1994. Hopefully you enjoyed it, and if you did, let me know. And I'll choose another year. Now, I might choose one out of the hat, but if you want me to talk about a different year, send me a message. All our socials are the same. If you look at the metadata in this podcast, you'll find our email address and our social media, and I look forward to hearing from you. Take care. Goodbye.
This was a Studio Channel 84 network show. To find more, head over to channel84.co.uk now.